Labas and good afternoon. This is Kęstutis Deividas, and you're listening to Independent Lithuanian Radio right here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial, and of course, live streaming audio over the internet at KTYM.com. Well, thanks again for tuning into Independent Lithuanian Radio this afternoon. As we did last week, we featured Jurga, her first album, little excerpts from that. That was, and we opened with that today, one of the songs from there. It's called, the album was called Golden Meadows or Auksu Pievos. And anyway, it put her on the map. It put her on the map as a major star. So hope you enjoyed that. We usually take this opportunity to bring you the weather in Lithuania, so let's get with the routine here and tell you that tomorrow it will be 60 degrees in the capital of Vilnius, and overnight low will drop to 47. It's about 49 degrees right now in Vilnius. And let's see, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, flat out 56 degrees every day. Thursday it'll get a little nippier, drop down to 50, and there's a good chance of rain. Warming back up to the high 50s by Saturday, September 28th. Locally here, a few things going on. Last week, or the week before, rather, we had Kimmo Arbas come and talk about the Romuva presentation that he'll be presiding over. That's Rudens Liga, or the Fall Equinox, if you would like to participate in a commemoration. A celebration of the fall equinox. Kimmo will preside over the event, and it will take place right near the Griffith Park Observatory tonight at 5:30 in the evening. There's a meeting where you park your car at a blocked-off street on the west side of the tunnel near Griffith Park Observatory, intersection of East Observatory Avenue and Mount Hollywood Drive. Okay. Everyone's welcome to attend. There'll be traditional Lithuanian songs and singing, but generally the rites and will be presented in English. Okay, it doesn't cost anything to attend. All right. So once again, if you would like to celebrate the fall equinox under the old Romuva traditions, Romuva, which is the ancient pagan belief system and/or religion of the Baltics. Again, that'll be tonight at 5:30, presided over by Kimmo Arbas. Okay, other things coming up. Big event, and that'll be the opening of Lietuvių Dienos, or the Lithuanian Fair. Okay, the big Lithuanian Fair is coming up on the first weekend of October. You all know about that. It's thousands of people literally come to this, and that'll be the first full weekend of October, October 5th, 6th, I believe, and it'll be at St. Casimir's Parish Grounds. I don't really need to tell you much about it, except that there'll be guests and performers from all over the world, Lithuania and the United States, and it's going to be great. And the kickoff this year will be Friday night before, where our very own dance group or dance ensemble known as Retro will perform. And the Retro is just what it sounds like it is. They do old-style ballroom dancing. It's not even old, really. It's just more of a classic thing. It sort of brings back remembrances of the nightlife, what the sophisticated people did in Vilnius and Kaunas back in the 1920s and 30s during Lithuania's first independence. So you'll see tangos and foxtrots in full costumes, and you are expected to attend in full regalia. That means the women in ballroom dresses and the men with a coat and tie. And this will be Friday night. That is Friday night at Maxwell DeMille's Cicada Club. Cicada Club. I'm not even sure how to say that. I think it's Cicada Club, actually. But you know that giant insect, the cicada, that sleeps underground for years, like a generation, and comes out? And that's what this is about. The nightclub comes out one night a week to celebrate the past. And it's at the historic Art Deco Oviatt building on Olive Street. Okay, the 1928 Art Deco Oviatt building on Olive Street hosts the Cicada Club, and the LA dance group Retro is taking over, and it will celebrate its 10-year anniversary. Now, see, this ties in with Lithuanian Days because they debuted 10 years ago at the Lithuanian Days Fair. So this is sort of their 10-year anniversary and a kickoff for Lithuanian Days. There's going to be a dinner and, again, performances and kick off the 27th fair. It's going to go from 7 o'clock to midnight. So, again, it's going to be a very special night. So mark your calendar and come see Retro and be part of a great evening on October 4th in downtown Los Angeles. For more information, you can contact us here at Independent Lithuanian Radio or call Raymond Paplauskas. Call Raymond. He's one of the members of Retro, and he'll be happy to tell you about it. He's at 213-268-5697. That's 213-268-5697. 213-268-5697. Let's see what else we have coming up. Later in the month, on October 20th, we have Rudens Ballos, the Fall Ball. How do you like that? It's or how about the Autumn Festival? Anyway, it's a luncheon, $50 per person, $10 for children, and it is a fundraising event at St. Casimir's Parish Hall. And again, that is Sunday, the 20th of October, at 12:45 in the afternoon. Call Lille Popiene at 323-255-3654. That's 323-255-3654. One more time, the fall banquet fundraising event for St. Casimir's at 323-255-3654 for more information at St. Casimir's on October 20th. And that's about it in our immediate calendar. And we're going to take a little break, and we're going to be right back with news and whatever else comes up from Lithuania and the Baltics. Be right back.
Per devynis laukelius, per devynis marialas, jo.
Wow, don't you just love that full-throated, that, you know, you get your lungs full of air and sing, you know, it's incredible. That's from an outfit called Kulgrinda, and it's sort of a band, it's a group of people who are into ethnic music, and they get together, they put together compilations, and this album is a compilation of songs praising Gediminas. Grand Duke Gediminas. So, you know, maybe we'll share a little bit more from the album by Kulgrinda with you later on in the program. We've got a bunch of things to cover. Some sad news. Lithuanian's customs officer, Audrius Senavičius, who served at the European Union's rule of law mission, known as ULEX, in Kosovo. In Kosovo, was killed during a shooting on Thursday. He's 35 years old. He'd served in the mission since August of 2012, and he joined the Kalaipa, the Territorial Customs, in 2000. According to the press release, what is known as the ULEX officers came under fire during their service near the city of Zvečan in northern Kosovo, close to the Serbian border. The attack took place about 7:30 in the morning. The shooters at the officers are yet unknown. Two more officers were injured, and they are undergoing treatment in the local hospital. They've launched an investigation, and troops have been dispatched to the scene. Two vehicles carrying six staff members on regular rotation from Gate 1 came under fire from unknown persons in the vicinity of the city of Zvekan. The incident resulted in the death of the one staff member, the Lithuanian Audrius Senavičius. Task Force Mitrovica was immediately activated, and a murder investigation is ongoing. So they really don't know if this had anything to do with the mission or if this was perhaps some sort of personal vendetta against someone. The Minister of Foreign Affairs of Lithuania, Linas Linkevičius, expressed his condolences to the bereaved family and strongly condemned the use of violence against the staff of the peaceful European Union rule of law mission. While that's true and unfortunate violence, we have some game violence going on, and those are the war games with Russia and Belarus participating. Now, why is this newsworthy? It's because they're doing it on Baltic borders. On September 20th, Russia and Belarus will begin large-scale military exercises on Baltic borders in western Belarus, the Russian enclave of Kaliningrad, and in the Baltic Sea. According to official information from Russia, the aim of the exercises is to train soldiers to, quote, liquidate illegal military groups and stabilize the situation in the territory. However, it is believed that the exercises will simulate an invasion of the Baltics. The Zapad 2013 exercises will take place from the 20th to the 26th of September, and almost 10,000 soldiers are expected to participate, 9,400 specifically, while another 2,500 soldiers are expected to join the territory of Belarus. So there's 9,400 in Russian territory, 2,500 in Belarus, so that's a little over 12,000 soldiers running around. Estonian President Tomas Hendrik Ives told Swedish newspaper that the training attack against Sweden that Rutte held earlier this year was a wake-up call for the Baltic Sea region. Generally, we see the incident as a wake-up call for the whole Baltic Sea region. Complacency with the security situation has emerged here, but we do not live in a world of eternal peace. Now we have the Zapad 13 exercise ahead of us where Russia will practice conquering the Baltics, he said in an interview. He stressed that anyone who attacks a Baltic state must be prepared to face all of NATO. Svenska Dagbladet revealed on April 22nd this year that Russian bomber planes practiced attacking Sweden at night. Sweden was late to respond to the exercise, while NATO Danish fighters based in Lithuania out of Sholé reacted. I am proud that the NATO Danish fighter planes were the only one to react, said Ives. They were far from the Russians, but they still reacted. This next story we've been following for months, literally. Chevron was the only company to bid to explore for shale gas, and you would think, you would like to think that since they're the only one that bid, that they would get the deal and begin a search for natural gas, shale gas specifically, begin the fracking, whatever, in a clean and environmentally friendly way to finally have Lithuania see the light at the end of the tunnel for energy independence, or at worst, less dependence on Russian natural gas. Oh, and tell the caller I'm not here. Headline is Chevron named winner of Lithuanian shale gas tender. Well, I mean, they're not competing against anyone, but that's what the headline says. A tender commission of the Lithuanian Environment Ministry has named Chevron the winner of a tender for shale gas exploration and production. The final decision will be made by the government. The commission has decided to recommend to the government to name Chevron the winner, said Daiva Matonien, Deputy Environment Minister and the Commission's chairwoman. The company had met all terms and conditions of the tender, she said, adding that the Commission had no legal reasons not to name Chevron the winner of the tender. You talk about a bureaucracy, ladies and gentlemen. So next week, the Lithuanian government may discuss a proposal to give the green light to the U.S. company Chevron to explore for and extract shale gas in the western part of the country. And listen to this. The Environment Ministry, which has drawn up a draft government resolution providing for this, says that once the permit is issued to Chevron's Lithuanian subsidiary, Chevron Exploration and Production, it will be able to carry out geological surveys in the Šilutė Tauragė field. It is not clear yet what tax rate will be applied to shale gas production. Deputy Environment Minister Daiva Matonene told Baltic News Service on Wednesday that the ministry was, quote, finalizing the economic justifications and would present them to the government strategic committee next week. Some members of the parliament, the Seimas, proposed to levy a 40% tax on shale gas and to apply a uniform basic 25% rate on crude oil and gas. Chevron has said that the proposed taxes would be discriminatory. Environment Minister Valentinas Mazuronis said on Monday that the proposed rates were probably somewhat too high. The government's decision to name Chevron the winner of the tender will be final when an agreement with the U.S. company, which was the sole bidder, will have to be signed. Then an agreement with the company, which is the sole bidder, will have to be signed in the next 90 days. So, you know, here's what you have in the end. What you have in the end is greedy government politicians trying to extract 40% tax rates out of Chevron. I wonder what Gazprom would have been offered. Another little excerpt from that album by Kulgrinda, honoring Gediminas. I got an interesting story here that I want to share with you. It's called A Different Take on Portraying Lithuanian History with a Game Changer. And that's sort of the name of a film that's going to be made. A new independently funded documentary film on the resistance movement of Lithuania called Game Changer is currently being filmed in Vilnius and abroad. The author sat down with 25-year-old Rima Gungor, an historian and first-time filmmaker who was producing the project. The title Game Changer refers to the shift from violent to non-violent resistance, which completely changed the game of the independence movement in Lithuania. What we're trying to do, instead of yet another film about Lithuania's independence, is to look at the big picture, at how the movement developed and what, in the end, made it successful, Rima explained. We're starting with the armed resistance between 1940 and 1953. We talk about what succeeded and what failed. Then we move to the 1960s and 70s, during which resistance efforts were sporadic. Finally, of course, we get to the independence struggle in the 80s and early 90s. We analyze the resistant efforts over time, how they evolved into the conscious choice to use nonviolent methods and civilian-based resistance and defense. The film is a historical analysis that can provide insight into what works and what should be avoided should similar conflicts occur elsewhere. The origins of The Game Changer are based in Rima's Lithuanian heritage. Although she was born in Berlin and moved to Chicago when she was only 7 years old, Rima's family was of Lithuanian descent, and they maintained their heritage abroad. I was raised in a household, she said, that really celebrated all the traditions. I've been a Lithuanian folk dancer since I was a teenager, and I maintained and grew my connection to Lithuania as I did more and more academic work based on Lithuania's history. After I had written a number of papers on Lithuania, a professor recommended the Richter Grant to me. 2 years and four rejected proposals later, Rima received the grant to fund a three-week trip to Lithuania to research and produce a paper on Lithuania's resistance movements. From the beginning, I wanted to look at the big picture, she said, but it was supposed to be just a 20-page paper. Of course, it ended up being 67 pages, but the grant committee let it pass anyway. The result is now the basis for the film, The Game Changer. Following the completion of her first project, Rima was prompted to do more with her research by her Lithuanian-born grandmother. I had filmed all my interviews, she said, for my thesis to maintain proper academic sources and record history for future academic work. My grandmother said about a year later, "You know, you're sitting on a pretty big pile of history here. What are you going to do with it?" explained Rima. A year later, another documentary about Lithuania was released back then called The Other Dream Team by our very own Marius Markevičius here in Santa Monica. When that documentary, funded almost entirely by crowdfunding campaigns, won awards the same year, it inspired Rima to go ahead and make Game Changer. Kickstarter.com is a website on which people with an idea for these kind of projects can get it funded by the public. It's used by major producers and small filmmakers. The project is only funded if its goal is met by a certain time period. On May 2013, Rima's crowdfunding effort succeeded in raising $10,000, 4 days ahead of its own deadline. Like most films, both studio films and independent ones, funding is an issue. The budget is the issue, but I'm very optimistic, she added. A second Kickstarter was approved on the 20th of August, aiming to raise $20,000 by the 19th of October. This money will go to additional editing and production costs, including music rights and access to more historical material. The team has applied to various sources for grants and funding. When asked what Rima hopes this film will achieve, she told the writer that, "We want to highlight one of the most successful resistant movements in history while taking Lithuania's history to a more global audience. In a time of violent conflicts all over the globe, even if they begin as nonviolent movements, we want to offer a model based on our history that can work on a transnational level if its principles are adhered to." Rima has and continues to interview Lithuanians who led or participated in the movements in various ways. Lithuanians abroad, non-Lithuanians such as politicians who were involved, or foreign journalists who were there during 88 through 91, including Vytautas Landsbergis, Andrius Mamontovas, and a number of other important figures in Lithuania's political, cultural, and academic history. "Every person we have met has pointed us to another incredible person to interview," Rima said. "The more we find out and the more we talk to people, the more our deadline gets pushed back, the more we have to do. The amount of amazing research we're doing is making me stay longer. I was planning to have everything done in Lithuania by the end of August, but now I'll probably be here till October. The success has blown Rima away. We're incredibly lucky with the press that we've gotten and how much people have been helping. The other amazing thing is that the everyday person will reach out to us on Twitter or Facebook. And as I say there, this is my story. Here are my pictures. Let me know if I can help in any way," they say. "What we've seen is an extremely positive response to what we've been doing." The trailer for Game Changer is expected to be out next month, a month ahead of schedule due to increased demand. Production is scheduled for November, and the release date will probably be March or April of 2014. The entire collection of the full interviews, which average 90 minutes to several hours, will be available as an archival research database to researchers. Anyway, it sounds pretty exciting, and I'm happy for Rima, you know, to be 25 years old and be putting on this sort of a project and be involved is wonderful, and she'll probably go out to do great work ahead, at least I hope so. You know, some of the press has her with Valdis Adamkus, with Vytautas Landsbergis photographs, and of course with prolific songwriter and cultural icon in Lithuania, Andrius Mamontovas, who was rock and roller at that time, young kid. But anyway, I digress. If you're interested in helping out, you know, that's what you do. You go to Kickstarter.com. Go to Kickstarter.com, and you can contribute you know, anywhere from a dollar to whatever you want to, if you think that it's worth supporting this sort of thing. Just go to Kickstarter.com and enter Game Changer. Game Changer. And participate in another little piece of history. And as I've been saying, you know, it's taking the first and second and third generation Lithuanians, you know, people, in other words, Westerners of Lithuanian descent, to tell the story that our parents told us and our grandparents told us. You know, it's starting to happen. As we just mentioned, our very own Modis Matkevicius, through a movie on sports and basketball, to someone like Rima. The word is out there, and then there's you know, other films about partisans and the like that have been produced and are being released as we speak and as you listen. So I think it's wonderful and it's great, and we should be proud. We should be proud that the children of displaced persons, in effect, have picked up the mantle and are telling the world the story that many of us were frustrated and thought would never get out. Now it is, and there's no excuse for not knowing about it. Well, before we wrap it up today, we want to remind you that just last month, August 25th, officially, Lithuania ended its 8-year-long mission in Gore Province, Afghanistan, where it helped to ensure safety and promote restoration. During a stately ceremony in the capital of the province, Shagharan, which was attended by the Minister of National Defense, Juozas Olekas, the Lithuanian military base camp was handed over to the Afghan National Army. All Lithuanian armed forces left Gore Province 1 week later. We can say that we fulfilled our task, Olekas told Baltic News Services after the event, when the Lithuanian flag was lowered in the base camp and both national anthems of Lithuania and then Afghanistan were played. According to the minister, the situation in one of the poorest Afghan provinces has improved greatly over the 8 years, and Lithuanian soldiers have gained useful experience. Local government and the international community highly appreciate the input of our military and civilians. I've seen a lot of changes. I see smiling faces, paved roads, new houses, and new businesses, Olekas continued. It has been of great value to us if we have had the opportunity to test our liaison with the alliance partners. Presently, our troops are significantly better prepared, if need be, to defend Lithuania. So there you have it. You know, sometimes we forget that the mission in Afghanistan, of which the United States was the leader and the head partner, so to speak, Lithuania, Latvia also, were part of it. It cost the Lithuanian budget 300 million lithas, but they did their part. This is Kęstutis Reividas for Independent Lithuanian Radio here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial. Don't forget to support some of our sponsors, one of which is Eurodelimart Lituanica, open 7 days a week, where you can taste some delicious Lithuanian food. Yes, a little taste of Lithuania, 28 blocks from the beach at 2838 Santa Monica Boulevard, Santa Monica, California. Eurodelimart Lituanica, always something new, open 7 days. Thanks again for tuning in. Bye-bye.